Hey guys, how's it going? Hope you're doing well. So, we're going to talk about something somewhat sensitive, and sorry for the delay. The last one I recorded, I didn't really like the audio as much, and I really didn't care about for the outcome. So I ended up kind of like nuking it and taking a couple days to do a little bit more research and come up with a little bit more of an idea. So in general, this is going to be a little bit more frequent, and I appreciate everyone that has so far listened. I'm only going to do this one time, maybe from time to time, maybe like once in a great while, actually. I don't know. I haven't figured it out. But if you like the content, please share. And most importantly, join my Discord channel, Element, and the YouTube channel. Pretty much have a discussion, come up with other ideas, meet like-minded people, and so we can secure ourselves into a more free and open source society. That is generally my goal. I am going to push a little bit more content out via video and put a lot more thought back into the podcast, just so that I can keep it running. I just want to make sure I'm coming up with fresh ideas on the fly, in my head. And generally, I do not write scripts or anything. But that's just like that's my process. You know, I have notes, but that's really about it. So, perspective-wise, this is going to be somewhat of a sensitive topic. So if these kind of things bother you, suicide, murder, guns, violence, things that are happening due to their nature, maybe you should just skip the episode. That's just a TLDR and a content warning for the people that might feel uncomfortable hearing this kind of stuff. Completely valid. Skip to the next episode, or just, if you can bear it and you like it and you enjoy it, thank you for listening and watching, and I appreciate everyone that takes the time out of their day to listen. So we're going to go over a few topics, and I'm going to just kind of go over some words that maybe you're not aware of, maybe you don't understand, and that's completely fine. I'm going to try to break it down as easy as possible. And this is somewhat going to be the entire perspective of what I think, the direction we're heading, and why I'm not a fan. Now, surveillance capitalism isn't really a new idea. It has been thought about before. It's been written about. And I think that's the direction not we're heading in, but I think we're already in it. These companies make tens of millions of dollars off of your data. They were really getting into the privacy invasive era of government that I'm not a fan of, and I'm going to go over that. And I'm kind of glad I recorded this a little bit later, because there is a bill that's making its way through the circuits that I think is going to get passed, that a lot of crypto bros are excited about, but I think that it's the opposite and it should not be considered a win. So I'm going to give you some definitions real quick to go over, so I don't have to go in depth while I'm like discussing them, and so you have an idea and we're on the same page. So I'm going to use a couple words, like central bank digital currency, pre-crime. We are central bank pre-crime surveillance capitalism, and then some software. So a central bank digital currency is exactly how it sounds. It's CBDC sometimes, or called digital fiat currency. A digital base money, quote unquote, is a digital currency issued by a central bank rather than by a commercial bank. It's also the liability of the central bank unless it's dividend yielding and its ownership is stake in the central bank, and a new form of tender, unlike cash. Like retail CBDC, which is the digitization of sovereign currency. Essentially, in a nutshell, to break it down to like a layperson, what this is it's going to be a government-issued digital currency. Now, some might say, that's a great idea. Now my Bitcoin is going to be worth lots of money, or, you know, insert reasoning here. XY reasoning here. It is not a good thing. I think we're going to be heading towards then a cashless society. I could be wrong. I think I'm going to be wrong on that. I don't think it's going to go to a cashless society personally, like some people are claiming that it is. But people argue about that all the time. Like, if we are or we aren't. But it could be. It has the possibility to head to that way, where cash becomes obsolete. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm not saying it is. But it might be. I don't want to conflate myself. I don't want to conflict with against myself. If you ask paranoid brain me, I say yeah. I mean, irrational version of me, yeah, it's probably going to happen. In obviously the way future, way, way down the line. This is just the start. This is casting the first stone. If it sticks around, hopefully the next administration just fucking thwarts this. But this isn't new. This has been, like, talked about for the last, like, couple years. Maybe even 10 now, where they want to go to a digital currency. Because, yeah, cash is private. These people are holding Bitcoin, and all these digital assets are somewhat pseudo-anonymous. I mean, the government definitely hates Monero because it's not pseudo-anonymous. It's just isn't anonymous in its nature. So, CBDC is pretty much digital fiat currency. It's where it's pegged to a stablecoin. A stablecoin is then backed by the dollar or whatever. XYZ. Then you have pre-crime policing. Pre-crime policing is just like social credit score, or like determining if this person is going to make crime or not. You know, there's surveillance capitalism. It's where, you know, the easiest way to break it down, these Wikipedia breaks it down pretty good. Surveillance concept is a concept in political economics where it denotes the widespread of collection of commodification of personal data by corporations. Thus, the phenomenon is distinct from government surveillance. They pretty much put them in hand to hand, and then these corporates pretty much profit off of spying on you, of your personal data. And there's becoming increasing odds of not opting out, not having ownership of your data, and because you don't have ownership of it, and it's difficult, and they wall garden you, and it's very difficult to actually do it. So just throwing that out there. Think about that next time you sign up for a service. Or before you do that, research how easy it is to exit your data and put it into another service. That should be your immediate red flags. If a service makes it difficult to exit, then you probably do not need that service. They're probably bad. I mean, this has been talked about since, like, 2014. People have written books on it. You can go down that rabbit hole. It's very interesting. Oliver Stone, creator of the film Snowden, pointed out to the location-based Pokemon Go as the latest sign of emerging phenomenon in demonstration of surveillance capitalism. He's not wrong. I mean, like, they got caught. I think they got sold to an even worse company, and they are actively selling location data, which is not good. Then there's, you know, or some people call it digital date. I call it digital slavery, but digital dictatorship is pretty on point with that one. So there's some laws being passed right now that I'm not a fan. We're going to go over the Genius Act. I think it should be renamed the Retard Act. Personally, it's not good. It's not good for us. It's not good for society. This is going to be a very depressing episode, but it's okay. I think people should be aware of this, because once they become aware, then they can fight it. there are going to be ways to fight this. I'll give some tips towards the end and see what I can do to lift people's spirits. So no worries. It's going to be good. We're going to be fine. So, and there's going to be some other stuff that I'm going to explain more in depth as we go. Pretty much not good. Not good. Let's see. So, the first thing I want to go over is the central bank digital currency. And then we're going to get into the... we're going to go this in sections. So, just recently, the Genius Act is getting passed through legislation. I don't think it's passed, but I think it's going to pass because it's bipartisanship. People are like there are people on the left and the right that are both like rooting for this. They're like, woo! Not good. Not good at all. And not only not good, it's going to be awful. So this is an article from Cointelegraph, which, I mean, their shit's annoying anyways, but they simplify it very easy. United States Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene said that the Genius Act stablecoin bill creates a backdoor for the government to effectively create a central bank digital currency veiled as a privately issued crypto tokens. So, United States Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene said that the Genius stablecoin bill creates a backdoor for the government. This bill regulates the stablecoins and provides for the backdoor central bank digital currency. The Federal Reserve has been planning CBDC for years. This is true. And this will open a door to move you to a cashless society and to digital currency that could be weaponized against you by an authoritarian government controlling your ability to buy and sell. I do agree with this. And I'm going to kind of break down how this works. So if you have never bought or hold or obtained Bitcoin in the very explain it like I'm five perspective is Bitcoin itself is a transparent ledger. That was the purpose. You cannot alter, you cannot change, you cannot fake. You can see every transaction transparently. This is argued that it is argued that that is a feat. One of the primary features of Bitcoin is that people cannot fake it. So that's where the problem comes. That means, unlike Monero, where Monero is private, transactions are private, everything is private on Monero, you could theoretically take that wallet, track it back to another wallet, and not like the person that owns that wallet and deny a purchase. This removes the fungibility aspect of it, and that is a problem. A, having a decentralized, quote, decentralized stablecoin that is controlled by a central authority is in itself a contradiction. If you choose people to issue this, it is not decentralized anymore. It is centralized. You could say that it's decentralized in a sense because a private entities could do this. If anyone could do it, anyone could issue these tokens with little to no regulation or no regulation at all. You could say it's somewhat better, but in fact, it's not, because I've read through the bill. And then we're going to go read on to the little extra. Bitcoin and crypto communities voice the same concerns. The Genius Act forces stablecoins into the CBDC compliance and control, functionally identical to CBD without a scary name. Bitcoin advocate Justin Belcher wrote on July 19th, argued that the U.S. dollar in any form is essentially a central bank digital currency that is already monitored by the state and increasingly digital. Governments realize that if they control stablecoins, they control financial transactions. I do agree with this. And that is the... That is like one of the biggest problems is because this is a public ledger and it's working off regular cryptography, like public and private key cryptography. It's built on like blockchain technology, however you want to look at it. Easiest way to look at it is figuratively public, meaning that they can see all your transactions, thus making it hard. Now, if you comb through this bill, you know, control F, you can look for everything. So for part of it in section 8 of the bill, federal qualified non-bank payment stablecoin issuer. The term federal qualified non-bank payment stablecoin issuer means a non-bank entirely approved, by the way, by the primary federal payment stablecoin regulator. So it is fundamentally regulated, decentralized or centralized decentralized finance, which is DeFi. I think it's called DeFi, CeFi, which is in itself retarded. Pretty much requirements for issuing payment stablecoins and general permitted payment stablecoins issuer shall maintain reserves backing of the issuer payments. Like there's a lot of regulation. This is a lot of reading, by the way. I did not read every single last line because a lot of it is just a little redundant. I understand it, but to break, like I'd read it and like a chunk of it, I'm like, okay, I understand this. I don't need to read. And then it's, yeah. Customer, this gives customer protection, which is fucking retarded. Just don't buy cryptocurrency, in my opinion, if you're that. The thing is, if it's not your keys, it's not your crypto. There's going to be reports no later than 6 months after the date. Pretty much the date. After the date, and exact, the primary federal payment stablecoin regulators shall provide a status update on the development of the rulemaking under the Act Committee of Financial Services in the House of Representatives and the Committee on Banking, Housing, and the Urban Affairs of the Senate. An overview of trends in payments and stake. They're going to look at an overview of trends in payment stablecoin activities, a summary of the numbers of applicants for permitted stablecoins issued under Section 5, a description of the potential financial stability risk posed to the safety risk, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, it's fucking... It's just bad. It's bad because it's like you're essentially, you just remove the ability to for people to be private. Cash is the only way you can be private besides Monero. It's not a good thing. The bill sucks. And you got XRP stands who are the biggest retards on the planet that just want to make a bunch of money. They do not care about the negative consequences of how this is heading. Fuck them and fuck this completely. My solution for this in the short term and the long term is just buy Monero. This isn't financial advice, but you should just buy Monero. It would be the easiest to do. No one can track it as far as we know. Just have good OPSEC. Purchase Monero and sit on it, use it, buy it, spend it. Use it as its intentions. Pretty much, it's we've gotten to the point where just a bunch of boomers and like tech bros and a bunch of retards, just all they care about is making millions and millions of dollars. They don't care about the technology. The Genius Act blocks pretty much big tech banks from dominating the stablecoin. Apparently, as well, ensures tech giants and banks can't dominate the stablecoin market without facing strict structural and regulatory hurdles. So all these, this is so stupid that people are even that people are even thinking this is a good idea. I'm just not a fan of this. I think it's just going to be to track the citizens. It needs to be completely. If you can, and it's still up for vote, talk to your local and state representatives. Tell them if you vote yes on this, I will not vote for you. Fuck you. Kind of thing. This is purely a U.S. issue. But if you live in another country, take notes. Like, take notes, because if the United States adopts this, I don't know what other countries have adopted this. If the U.S. adopts this and other countries start adopting it because the U.S. makes it look easy or we sell the idea how to do it, just absolutely fucking drop the ball. Just buy Monero while you can, in my opinion. All right, next session is surveillance capitalism, and beware. Surveillance software policies pretty much... surveillance using software to essentially predictive crime is a problem. Now, I want you to put this in the back of your head. I want you to think about this for the rest of the episode. This is a little dark, but would you give up your privacy if it prevented a mass tragedy like a shooting? Would you give up all your privacy until the end of time, until you're buried 6 feet under, to prevent a mass shooting? Ask yourself that. If that is what you, if you say yes to that, I want you to think really deep about why you would do that. That may sound extreme. That might hurt some people's brains, and might offend some people. Whatever. I think most people on the street would say yes, until you realize that it is not effective. Until you realize that you are now effectively saying, hey, I should have no right to privacy at any point in time, even if it's irrelevant. That's the purpose. The point of harvesting and safeguarding your data is like anything else. There are going to be sensitive conversations you're going to have. There's going to be ha-ha funny meme jokes that you're going to share with the boys or the girls or the whoever. And that might seem, it might be taken out of context, and it might ruin your reputation. It might hurt you. You might even be jailed for it. I'm going to read an article from 2016. This is an insight that's only 10 years old. So in California, I don't know if they still have this, but this is crazy for something that's even 10 years old. High tech is increasingly used by police departments. Still true, by the way. But some have gone as far as surveilling citizens via Beware software that calculates a citizen's threat score. High tech is increasingly used by police departments, but some have gone as far as surveilling citizens via software that calculates a citizen's threat score. Intronado, the company behind the threat scoring software, says Beware sorts and scores billions of publicly available commercial records in a matter of seconds, alerting response to potentially dangerous situations while en route. Alerting the response to potential anonymous requests in much of the same way as the Harris Corporation keeps the lid tightly sealed on the details of its Stingray cell site simulators and trackers. Intronado considers the house of Beware calculating threat score to be a trade secret. Huge quotes on that one. However, the Washington Post said that the program sources billions of data points, including arrest reports, property records, commercial database, deep web searches, as well as citizens' social media postings. Insane, by the way. You don't know what... just explain satire to someone. There's stuff that's satirical that gets misplaced for real all the time. The calculated threat level is a color-coded with green, yellow, and red as the highest warning. The Washington Post visited Fresno Police Department's $600,000 real-time crime center where Beware is being used. By the way, that's your tax dollars going at work to, quote-unquote, reduce crime. On 57 monitors that cover the walls of the center, operators zoomed and panned at an array of roughly 200 police cameras preached across the city. They could dial up to 800 more feet from the city's schools and traffic cameras, and soon hope to add 400 more streams from cameras worn on officers' bodies and from thousands of local businesses. That means they're just using any public available camera that they want, that they can, to prevent crime. The Minority Report's pre-crime ball rolling down a chute. Yeah, if you haven't seen the Minority Report, you should. It's very good. There's another one. Idiocracy. That's another one that a lot of people are just, and Don't Look Up. Don't Look Up is another one that a lot of people are saying, like, ooh, the irony. And then if you, we can talk about, I mean, not talk about, we can bring up the fact that Flock exists. Flock is used by government, government agencies to use tens of thousands of cameras in neighborhoods that are being essentially used to spy on its citizens. There was that fiasco with Amazon. I think they had to eventually draw, like, because they were getting so much backlash from it. They were handing over data and video footage to law enforcement with no Fourth Amendment. I mean, this is why the Fourth Amendment literally exists, and it should, and it should exist, is you should not be able to do unreasonable search and seizures just without a warrant. Like, you shouldn't be able to just happily walk into someone's house and start searching for stuff. You need a warrant, you need probable cause. It ought to be the way, because we need to protect ourselves from overreaching governments. People always talk about, like, oh, what about what are you afraid of, what do you have to hide? It's about when an administration gets into power, they can just make up whatever the fuck they want. They can change their minds. They can lie. They can put authoritarian level laws into place that make it very difficult to either remove, or if not, just become a dictator over the next 4 to 5 years. I mean, people act like Hitler, like, figuratively just came in, was like, I hate Jewish people, I want to take over the world, and I'm ready to start World War II, baby. No, like, he methodically and slowly changed policies and made it very difficult for brainwashed an entire nation. I mean, not even crazy. But you could just go through the timeline of how long it took. I mean, that's how surveillance happens. This could have been started like 6 administrations ago, even 10. I mean, you can go as far as back as like the Patriot Act and like how terrible it was for our nation's privacy, like, in general. And I mean, that's just a totally different tangent. If you ever want to go down a real rabbit hole, I mean, it's just look at the Patriot Act and like how it pretty much removed the, and then also the removal of the Fourth Amendment while on the road, like, oh, I just smell weed, oopsies, let me open up your car, oh, I'm gonna plant drugs on you, stuff like that. And even worse, because law enforcement has qualified immunity, they cannot be sued for mistakes or just violating the law. They say, like, oh, it drops once they do that, but it never happens. I mean, this is like a common issue where law enforcement gets essentially violates the law and nothing happens. They just go to another precinct, or they just get paid leave on the tax dollars dime because they cannot be sued because they were acting in good faith or some other bullshit. Essentially, there's a lot of issues with that. But now we have all these cameras that are like doing the job for them, and they're just showing up. There's just recently California has illegal fireworks. Like, they have fireworks that are illegal. The law enforcement is using drones, literally drones, in order to catch people doing this. Which, what if they catch you doing a different crime? People are like, oh, just don't do crime. But that, again, this is like an overreach of policing. Like, you're using literally Skynet. Like, you're using skies in the fucking cameras in the fucking sky. Like, what would be a good, how would any good come out of that? I mean, look at Stingrays, like, people have the right to protest. They literally have the right to assemble and protest against their government. It's their First Amendment right. It is their First Amendment right to be able to protest against their government and not have, they have the right to assemble. They have the right to literally gather, protest, and assemble and protest what they do not like about their government. Stingrays effectively catch tons of information. They try to downgrade standard citizens can build this stuff for, like, I think less than $1,500. They've done, like, people of, like, hacker conventions have, like, hey, I built a Stingray for like $1,500. So, like, there's, like, you go to a protest, you're not doing anything illegal, you have your phone, you tell people hey, it's Jade, I'm going to the protest. They capture all this information, and then they start monitoring you, and then, or they arrest you for accessing your rights. That's how it starts where the knee of oppression starts going straight into your neck is when you can make less and less movement and you have to cover yourself more and more. I mean, it's just, it's absolute clown town. So it's, there's no good that comes out of it. And to answer my own question, Intronado does still exist. It is Viper, next gen, introducing the next generation of call hand. NG911, flexible, future-proof emergency network services that improve call routing, data sharing, and delivered on I3 compliance. Hi, we get to do all these great innovations that tell someone that they might commit a crime. It's insane. And then they get these fucking government contracts and nothing ever happens. Emergency data broker. Wow. What is that? It is dots between alarm monitoring provider and public safety answering points, providing a robust platform for 911 data messaging. Yeah. Always there in an emergency. So they're pretty bad. They have like a lot of cameras that they use. This is still ongoing probably. ICE agents they're using like facial recognition apps like to take pictures of protesters and then pretty much pull up their records, pull up their information while they get to hide in secrecy in public and not display their name badge, which is, in my opinion, bullshit. My tax dollars are literally paying for them. They need to be civil servants. They need to not only uphold the law, but I need to know who they are. Especially if I'm paying their salary. Some people can say like, oh, they're operating undercover, and I want you to take the boot out of your mouth that you're licking very deeply into it. That's just retarded. That's a stupid statement. Undercover obviously is different when you are literally undercover. When you are in undercover, you look like a civilian. You're in a sting operation to stop like a pedophile ring, whatever. Don't have an issue with that because you're interacting with the bad people. This is people that are interacting with people that are exercising and operating their First Amendment right. Like, and then just raiding people's houses with like no due process. And just like, they again are civil servants. They are operating with the general public. They're not doing sting operations that are highly sensitive where they need to hide their identity. They need to expose their identity like the pussies they are, but you know, protection for them, not for me, kind of thing, whatever. And that's just going to get into like surveillance capitalism. I mean, you literally have not only just Flock that's stealing millions and millions of dollars of taxpayer dollars because police enforcement are law agencies are using them. You also have Palantir. Palantir is its own nightmare. It's like this. You have like seven layers of hell. There's an eighth layer. It's Palantir. Palantir is a dog shit company that has ties to just being awful people. And recently, the government wants to connect all these data brokers together into one. An all-in-one basket. I'm not a fan of that, and I'm trying to be as neutral as possible, but I do not like the idea of making all-in-one basket of my data and in the government. I mean, like, literally zero siloing. That's a nightmare. That sounds like a nightmare blunt rotation. Essentially, what's going to happen is Palantir is going to get all these contracts, these government contracts. They're going to have access to all this data. They're already... I think they're trying to get contracts with ICE. They have emergency contracts. They have military contracts. So they have all these contracts. And they essentially will have access to all this data. And they're most likely going to be... It's going to be used to spy on you. If we learned anything from the NSA and the Snowden leaks, that the government is not going to be good with this data. They are not going to handle it properly. And then it's just from a pure attack vector. They're already... looking at it from like, oh, perfect. The government that puts no money into security is going to be holding all this. Excellent. I mean, it's if you're not aware and if you've been living under a rock, Salt Typhoon is essentially compromised most of our telecom networks. You should treat every text message that you send like it has been compromised and that it can be read at any point in time. I don't think they have been ejected from the telecommunications systems. They are probably just sitting around leaking information, especially like high-profile targets that are using these services, or they're using like Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, or whoever, or these prepaid services. If they are, they are probably cooked because they can most likely read your text messages. Switch to Signal if you have not. Switch to Simple X. Switch to Session. Switch to anything else. I mean, Session's pretty bad, but it's there's so many better options that you could just pick right now than using standard SMS. And if you can, switch to hardware authentication. So surveillance capitalism is getting deeper and deeper with the idea of Palantir, Flock, and also just these companies that are like being used to spy on the people and protesting. They just get boatloads of money handed to them. Pretty much high tech is watching you at all times. This is from 2019 from the Harvard Gazette. The digital revolution began with great promise. When did you start worrying about, you know, tech giants? Zuboff in 2000 took the support economy. I looked at individual challenges to capitalism and shifting from a mass to an individual oriented structure of consumption. I discussed how we finally had the technology to align focus of supply and demand. However, early indicators were that the people are framing that the first generation of e-commerce were more preoccupied with tracking cookies and attracting eyeballs for advertising than they were about historic opportunity to face. This is kind of true. When we switch to a different model from contextual-based ads to behavioral-based ads like 2012, 13 Cicada, we fundamentally now get, they do this thing called live bidding where they bid live on your data, and it's so good at fingerprinting you that you don't really have a fucking chance to actually thwart it unless everyone has the same exact browser, which they don't. Everyone has the same browser habits, which they won't. It becomes increasingly difficult. And just like in a pro tip sense, browser anti-fingerprinting just doesn't exist. With all these tweaks you're making, with all these things that you're doing, you're not preventing browser fingerprinting, you're making it easier. The best thing you can do is get a standard browser out the box, use Brave. It's easy as fuck. I use it. There's some cases where I use Firefox, and there's some cases where I use Mulvad browser, and there's some cases I use Tor. But what makes Tor's fingerprinting the best is they tell you not to configure the browser. They tell you not to change the screen resolution. They tell you not to do anything different because in itself it achieves nothing and makes you stand out like a sore thumb. The best thing you can do is download the Brave browser, disable some things that are more of like telemetry and some things that are somewhat more fingerprintable, and it's more of a security attack reduction. In hindsight, your best option is, just as a pro tip, just if you take anything from this, literally do not do all these configurations. Just download Brave or download Arkenfox or like other already pre-configured, pre-made, very easy. Everyone else is using it. No one's customizing it. Same thing, browser. You know, that's just the reality of it. I mean, that's how I look at it, is that we are in pretty bad times with the passing of, most likely the passing, this is done on July 20th, so it's most likely we'll get past the Genius Act. I don't know if it did or not. It says it hasn't, but it's pretty much, it got voted on. Everyone was like, yeah! So I want you to put back to the main topic and the main perspective of surveillance capitalism and an allegoracy, Crassey. It's pretty much gonna be, in a sense, AI and government. We're gonna get these central bank tokens, which is complete ass. All these government contracts are getting bigger and bigger, and the lack of siloing our data. Nothing similar to GDPR, which is what the European Union has. It's not perfect. Obviously, it's not the best, but it's way better than what the U.S. has, which is nothing. Sometimes a little thin veil is better than no veil at all. The theory that we are going to is... It's going to... The problem is... And this is going to be somewhat of a controversial take. Is free speech does not exist without privacy. Your Second Amendment does not exist without privacy. If I can't purchase ammo with cash, if I can't speak freely on the internet with no one knowing who I am, if I can't have private thoughts, if I can't protest, then privately protest, I should not have to show my face because I'm, again, not a civil servant. I am a citizen. I think that it's going to be increasingly harder to actually exercise these rights. We have pretty much no privacy laws, except for like within your house, obviously, and you definitely deserve that. Commercialization of the internet, data capitalism, data mining is getting worse. So what do you do? I went on this long rant, pre-crime essentially being used in places where it shouldn't. We've already seen articles that are as old as 2016 that are talking about this. These contracts aren't going away anytime soon. The money pits are like leaking into these disgusting cesspools of data harvesting companies like Palantir. And look, my thing is that if they want to use it in the government in terms of like military, that's fine. Not on the citizens. I think people are going to get the wrong idea here. They're like, what do you mean? You know what I mean? Like, I don't care if the NSA is spying on an actual terrorist group outside the country and not on its citizens. Like, that's the point, is when this technology is now being leaked into our perspective. Is leaked into our society for counterterrorism and to protect the people and to protect citizens. I do not like it. The thing is, we need to take a stance against it. But there's I'm gonna go over like what you should do, how you should do it. And how it's going to help you. There's no good way to quote unquote fight terrorism with all these privacy invasive technologies. There's no good way of stopping it. But I want you to come back to the question that I asked earlier. Would you give up your privacy to essentially? Would you give up your privacy to essentially prevent a mass shooting or a crime? That's what I think that we're going to head into, is we're going to have all this data that's siloed. We're going to have a repeat of the Patriot that's not being siloed anymore. We're going to have a repeat of the Patriot Act, where the government agencies are most likely going to start spying on its citizens. This isn't like virtue signaling or conspiratorial hat. This is stuff we're seeing in real time. This isn't like the NSA is tapping your phones or anything. They don't need to tap your phones anymore. They don't need to do all these things in order to pretty much suppress your free speech or put you on a list or monitor you. So a few things you can do, minus talk to your legislation and talk to people that have your values within your community, within your local government, you should start siloing your data now. This is what I would do. I would put a lock on your credit. It's free. It's easy. I would reject using SMS. I would get a private phone number, and I would install Graphene OS. There was a recent article that came out that governments and police agencies do not like Graphene OS because it's increasingly harder for them to track, surveil, and crack. And I think that that is an important thing to understand on why free and open source software is the optimal way to maintain your freedom. Apple may have good security, and I'm not going to disagree with that, but you have to increasingly hand over data to Apple. And it doesn't mean that they are not going to subject themselves to giving it to law enforcement, government agencies, and or that they are not collecting themselves. This isn't a claim that they do these things, but you are handing your data to Apple, and that is not objectively a claim. That is just a fact. Apple does not have to give you any upfront reason that they are not collecting data. They are probably collecting your data. Are they using it for advertising purposes? Probably not. But are they using? Can they use it for advertising services? Or down the line, can they betray you and hand over this information? They absolutely could. Would they do that? Maybe. I mean, they're a company at the end of the day. They're not bound to a... And I think the vast majority of people do not buy an iPhone for the simple fact of its privacy feature, even though it's kind of like touted as like, oh, this is what we care about. People buy it for the aesthetic and more of like the status and the camera. And I believe that that is probably the main reason. The average normie isn't buying, and FaceTime isn't buying an iPhone because they are more private. I mean, Graphene OS is literally installed because we think, and we not just think, but we can audit and source verify that Graphene OS is increasingly becoming more private and more secure, hence why law enforcement, government agencies are not a fan of it. So always keep that in mind. Beyond that, and siloing your data, I would say get, while you can, an anonymous SIM that in cash and try to buy a year's worth at time. Use public Wi-Fi when you can, paired with a VPN if you don't trust the Wi-Fi source, but most of the internet's encrypted anyways, contrary to popular belief. Turn off location services, like AKA airplane mode, or if you can go the full schizoid route, I would forfeit a number completely and not use it. Reject and not use SMS-based authentication. Switch to services that allow you to use hardware or at least software two-factor authentication and not SMS. And on a final note, be prepared for the ever incoming of the quote-unquote inshittification of the internet, because it is getting worse. Not only that it's getting worse, it is also objectively starting to pry open the locks that we put on ourselves to remain private. I will see you guys in the next one, and I hope you all have a wonderful day. And if you enjoyed this content, please share with your friends. Thank you.